looks like we're at full battery, so. Okay, and we are recording. So if you could just say your full name and how long you've lived in New Milford.
Okay. Barbara Louise Pete Nelson, and I've been in New Milford all my life.
So, where did you grow up in New Milford?
On Second Hill.
Wonderful.
Which is now called Crossbrook Road, but it was Second Hill.
That was Second Hill Road, or was it just...
Yeah, Second Hill Road.
Oh, yeah. Wow. When did they change it?
Then it was Mallett's Lane.
Okay.
We lived at Mallett's Lane, and we always lived in the same house, but
right.
We had different...
Oh, wow.
Yeah. When it was Second Hill, we didn't even have a house number. Our mailbox was just at the end of the... on the road, and the mailman just came around and put the mail in.
That's amazing.
And it was so easy to get mail in those days. I remember when my parents first had grandchildren, and they called my dad Binky instead of Grandpa, and it would just say Binky, Second Hill Road. And it would get to him.
Now, did your parents, or were they from New Milford too?
Yes, yes. My family's always been in New Milford.
When did
my mother's? I'm trying to think. I think it would be her great grandfather was a Ferris, and he was one of a descendant of Zachariah Ferris, who was the first one that plowed field in New Milford, and it's in the New
Orchids.
Milford. Yeah, Orchids. And my father was direct line was Pete, and we have the Pete history here. I think John Pete came here, came over to the United States in 16 something, and so some of them settled in New Milford. So there's always been Pete's here, as far as I know.
That's amazing.
Riley Pete and Samuel Pete, who's been written up in different books and everything. So
what's it like having that connection to a place?
It feels like home.
Yeah. Do you think it's different than the people who say moved here recently? I mean, relatively recently.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think it's different having that sense of connectivity? It's a hard question.
Yeah, it's a hard question because it's so natural for me.
Yeah.
You know, we never thought anything of it, you know, when I was growing up. It's only since I've been more active in the Historical Society, and I see that actually that's kind of neat to to be able to chase your family. And of course, so many people are doing genealogies now.
Yeah.
And to have a book on my ancestors is kind of nice.
Right.
And to be able to read about them and what they did is interesting to me now.
Do you think it was, and perhaps this is just an obvious question, but was it more common growing up to know people whose family had just always been in New Milford?
Yes, yes. As far as I'm concerned, yes. I think so many people were native New Milford residents. You know, they had been here for a long time.
And this is a loaded question, but do you think it's changed the community? The loss of that? Better, worse, do you think? How do you think that's affected the community?
Well, of course, it's grown so much. It's kind of hard for me to judge because I'm not in politics or anything. I don't know what's going on with the running of the town or anything,
right.
So I don't know how that's changed that much, but I don't know.
But I guess
school,
so, like...
Well, you know, school was so much... Like, my class had 65 people, and my son's class had 300 people, you know, students in a class. So, I mean, it's just grown so much, it's hard to judge.
Where did you go to school? Which elementary school did you go to?
Main Street School, Main Street which is School. Now the Senior Center.
Okay.
You know, Richmond, and then the high school, which is East Street.
Okay. So we're downtown, right? We're talking about downtown. Yeah. Schools are downtown. There have been a lot of changes downtown.
Yes.
I mean, and I've said this time and time again with people, New Milford is really, when you sort of distill its essence, is an agglomeration. It's a bunch of villages that just sort of are loosely tied together, right? Yeah. You have Northville, you have Mariel, you have,
right.
And they all have these like really distinctive identities.
Yeah.
But downtown has been the glue that united all of that.
That's right.
The green is everybody's soul in this town, right? Like this is how we connect to that. So I guess in the struggles that we've had downtown, like with keeping businesses here or the changing face of downtown, how has the community changed for you in that way? I mean, how have you seen downtown change?
I think the main thing was when they took down all the residential houses on the other side of the green, where now are the bank, and it was CVS, and you know those buildings, because that was when I was a teenager, so I really, you know, I noticed it more.
Right.
Because some of my friends lived in those houses.
Oh, really? Do you remember who?
Yeah, the Arnolds.
Okay.
The Arnolds lived there. I'm trying to think. I went to school with them, so that's why I knew them. We used to meet at their house sometimes for which was the girl? I can't remember now. I think we were Tri-Y. The boys were High Y.
What's that?
That was an exclusive club. You had to get.
Oh, really?
You had to get nominated and get voted in, and then we had initiation.
Really?
Yeah.
So it was like a teenage club,
In school.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
In school. Yeah.
And what did you guys do in this club?
Not much. We used to just have meetings at. I remember the Arnold's house. I don't remember if we met anyplace else or not. And then we just went to games, you know, the basketball games and things. I don't remember us doing all that much, but of course I always had to work after school, so.
Where did you work?
I babysat.
Okay.
But I mean, I had a commitment.
Yeah.
To go, I used to babysit with a working mom, and so I had to go right after school, and then I didn't get home until 5 o'clock, I think she got to work about 5.
Were there a lot of like single working moms at that point in time?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. Was that, I mean, so was...
But I mean, I always babysat because they always had, I don't know. I to tell you the truth, Chris, I just did my
absolutely.
Yeah, and that was the one that I was most. That was the one that I was did in high school, and her husband worked too. I mean, she wasn't single.
Right.
Her husband worked too, but they worked at the same place, and so I used to babysit when I got through school.
What were the the big employers in town at that point in time? Or what did most people do?
Of course, my family, that were mostly farmers.
Okay.
I mean, everybody, you know.
On Second Hill?
No.
Okay.
My grandfather had a farm on Old Park Lane Road.
Okay.
Where I live now.
Okay.
And then my other grandfather had a farm on the Ferris side of the family, had a farm on Jerusalem Road.
Whereabouts?
Jerusalem.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, where Jerusalem Road
absolutely.
Is. Yeah.
So Jerusalem Road, there was, obviously there was the village of Jerusalem at one point in time. I know it was before your time.
Yeah.
Obviously you wouldn't have any recollections of it, but do you know anything about, like, the village before they flooded it, or?
No.
I mean, no, okay.
No.
I know. But So your family's mostly farmers. It was a large portion of the people in town were farmers.
There were a lot of farmers. Were there? And there were the, you know, as I said, the Arnolds were the bankers. There was Perry Green, who had a business that everybody knew about, you know, knew Perry Green's warehouse. And there was a CM Beach Company.
What did they do?
I think they sold furniture and appliances.
Okay.
From what I remember.
Did your family go into Perry Green's a lot?
No.
You didn't? No.
No.
I've just had... it's funny because every person who was around when Perry Green's was open has brought up Perry Green's in this conversation.
Because his horse stood out front.
That's right.
We were a little kid. And plus you had to stop there for the train because we had trains that ran through regularly and they cranked down the day. Mm-hmm. And so where did you sit? In front of Perry Green's. I mean, you know, that was kind of like the only thing to look at.
Did you ever take the train?
Anyplace? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, when I was a teenager, my friend and I used to take the train down to Danbury and go to the movies in the afternoon and take the train back.
No, is that like a treat or is that just sort of a common thing that?
No, it was just we paid our own way. It was just a mode of transportation because not everybody had cars when we were young. Mm-hmm. You know, not all teenagers had cars like they do now.
Right.
And we just walked every place.
Yeah.
So we came back from the train and I'd walk up to Second Hill. I mean, you know, nobody picked you up or anything. You just tried to get home before it got dark.
So had the train station, was it like it is today? I mean,
that's how I remember it.
Yeah.
Except that Mr. Henderson used to come out and crank down the gate.
Who was Mr. Henderson? He was the
He was the one that took care of the train station.
Yeah, he's like the train master or whatever.
Station master. Yeah, he cranked down the gate. So.
Oh, that's too funny.
Yeah.
That's too funny. So, you lived through the flood of '55.
Oh yeah.
Any specific memories about that?
Well, I worked for the telephone company by then.
Okay.
At that time. And because I graduated from high school in 53, so mm-hmm. I was working at the telephone company. And mostly that's all I remember because we were so busy.
Yeah.
Everybody, because there was no email, there was no other way of communication except the telephone.
Right.
So everybody was on the telephone to everybody else, wanting to know how they were, and you know, and just that whole time was so busy. But I do remember it being so flooded.
Right.
You know, down the area where the foundry.
Right.
That's another big business where a lot of people worked.
Yeah. And then World War II, I mean, do you remember the end of it? How did New Milford celebrate at all? I mean, there are these stories of, you know, big celebrations at the end of the war.
I don't know. My dad I don't know what his title was. I'm trying to think, did he have a title? When we had a blackout, he used to walk around and check the neighborhood to make sure everybody had their lights off and so that it was dark.
Yeah.
And that's what we called it. Oh, a blackout. They used to blow a whistle or something.
Did they have like I know in Bridgewater, my grandfather worked in like a tower, but like a lookout building almost.
Oh, yeah.
Did they have that in New Milford too?
Yeah, it was up on the top of Second Hill and my mom did it.
Okay.
Yeah, and she was, and she got her wings. I still have her wings.
Do you really?
Yeah, for doing it, for putting in so many hours at it.
There is must have been such a sense of accomplishment, I guess.
Yeah, well, everybody was very patriotic in those days. Everybody wanted to do their part.
What do you think has changed?
I think people are more selfish now.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we have so much more. I mean, I think people have become more materialistic than we were because we did live through the war. We lived through rationing. We lived through You know, not having everything. I always wore hand-me-down clothes. I had an older sister, and I always wore hand-me-down clothes. Thought nothing of it. All my friends did too.
Yeah.
We got new outfits at Easter and Christmas, and that was it.
Yeah.
Mostly.
I feel like, so I mean, obviously, because my shtick is community, right?
Yeah.
I feel like that. There's a connection to that, what you're talking about, that selfishness. I'm using air quotes right here.
Yeah.
and that loss of community, yeah. I guess.
Yeah.
Because you used to have to rely on people, or people just naturally rely on people.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I can remember, you know, my dad would go and if one of his friends called and had a flat tire, he would go and help them or whatever. I mean, it was, but people are busy now, and they have a lot of commitments,
yeah.
And they're not as available to, and I think it's become natural. I mean, it's not any, I don't know if it's, I wouldn't say it's bad. It's
right.
Just the
idea. It just is.
It's changed.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's changed, you know, since what I remember probably is different than what my parents, you know, how they grew up, because we were going through a change with the war and everything. Mm-hmm. It was World War II.
But I think there's a sense of sort of responsibility in a town or any place when you can walk down the road and you see people you know and they know you.
Yeah.
It's easier to... It's easier to ignore that now because we don't know everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, there isn't that sense of responsibility to everyone else. And I actually firmly believe that there still is community. I mean,
yeah.
You just have to look harder for it.
Yes, yes.
And there still is. I mean, I've seen it in this project, how people still really have a very deep love for their town.
Yes.
Even the people who like you and like me, who aren't native New Milfordites.
Yeah.
Judy Burroughs. I mean, you know Judy,
yes,
right?
Yes, I know Judy. Yes.
Judy, at first when we spoke, said, "I'm a native Viking," you know?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then by the end of the conversation realized that how much this town meant to her.
Yes.
I just think that it's easier for us to ignore that now.
Yeah.
So we talked about the center of town. We talked about the flood of 55. So you're part of the DAR, right?
Yes.
How long have you been part of the DAR?
5 years, maybe.
5 years?
6 years, something like that.
Have they been active in town that long?
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Oh, they've been active for a long time. But I didn't. I wasn't interested in joining until I got older and near retirement, I guess.
Right.
And a lot of my friends were in it.
Right.
And joined. And I just thought, well, let me find out about that. You know, my family's always been here. I mean, I must be eligible.
Right, right.
And so, and start doing the research. And I was active to start with the first year, so I didn't. I'm kind of
you peter off a little bit.
Well, yeah, because I've got so many other things that I do.
But, yeah,
it's nice to be a member.
Yeah,
yeah.
So, if you don't mind me asking, how did you and your husband meet? Is he's a native New Milford?
Oh, yeah.
Or he was a native New Milford, right?
Yeah. Actually, he was my brother's best friend.
Really?
Yeah. So I always knew him. And of course, I knew him from school.
Right.
I mean, as I say, when I grew up, everybody knew everybody from first grade on.
Yeah.
And so I always knew who he was. And then when he and my brother got older, and my brother formed a club. It was called the Hot Rod Club. They had jackets, and they used to meet at our house.
Yeah.
And he would come, and it was such fun. But I always saw him as my brother's friend. I had a lot of other boyfriends along the way. He had other girlfriends. And then he went in the Coast Guard. And he always was asking me to go out, and I would go out, and because they would water ski. Ricky had a boat, and they would water ski, and I would be the spotter. And, you know, it was just, we just kind of did things together, but I never thought of him that way. And do you want this whole story?
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, if you don't mind telling it, it's who you are, right?
Yeah. So anyway, my mother's, my parents really liked him too, and she said, why don't you go out with him? He's calling you, he's always wanting to go out. So I said, okay, where do you want to go? So we went bowling.
Right.
You know, so
where'd you guys go bowling?
It was down in Danbury.
Okay.
There was a bowling alley down there. And so we had a good time, and we stopped at the, and it was called the Red Rooster or something, a tavern that I never went to. I mean, I was not a tavern kind of person, and I don't think he was either, but he didn't know what I was because we were just talking, and when we got back to my house, and he said, would you like to go out again? And I said, I'd love to. And that was it. I mean, I just, being alone with him and talking with him and everything, we had so much in common, and we really enjoyed each other's company.
Awesome. So a few more questions. You talked about you grew up in Park Lane. Second Hill. I'm sorry.
Second Hill.
Well, so there you go. You're very, very aggressively a Second Hill person, right?
Well, my grandfather's farm was in Park Lane.
Uh-huh.
And as I say, it was on what is now Old Park
Lane
Road.
Right.
I don't remember what we, because we just called it the back road.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we had a horse, and we kept it in my grandfather's, and it was a dirt road down to our house on Second Hill, and we used to ride up and down there. We used to go up across the road from there, and it was all flooded, it was swampy.
Yeah.
We used to ice skate in the winter, or go to Conn's Pond. But if we went to the one on Park Lane, there was nobody there.
Right.
And we could walk up from there, whereas we weren't allowed on the highway. So we didn't go to Conn's Pond as often, but that's my area.
Yeah.
That's where I grew up.
But, and I guess that was sort of my question, because, and this is just sort of ignorance on my part, I guess. So like you have like Northville, which is incredibly like a defined village.
Yes.
Mariel is pretty defined. I mean, I think there's a sense of community there. Was Second Hill, I mean, was it sort of its own little? No.
No.
No. Okay.
No.
I just didn't know. I had never.
No. No, there was Marbledale. I mean, the people, they had their own church and everything, you know.
And Gaylordsville.
Yeah.
I mean, I was talking with Barbara Thorland about it, and she was telling me that apparently in the 40s, there was a movement in Gaylordsville for them to secede.
Oh.
Which I thought was pretty funny, actually.
That's right.
So, I mean, is there anything else, anything special that sticks out in your mind? Anything you want to share before we sign off? I mean, places that mean a lot to you, civic organizations that mean a lot to you, the library, the schools, the historical society.
Well, the library was always important in my life and in my kids, because I brought them up the same way, and I brought my grandkids here for reading.
Yeah.
You had Lewis as your book brother, or whatever you were called. And so, I mean, the library's always been the hub.
Yeah.
Of our social life, I guess, or something, and the church. We always were.
Which church do you belong to?
Well, when I was growing up, we were Methodists.
Okay.
But my dad was always Episcopalian, and he belonged to the St. John's Church. And so I started taking my kids, and Ricky was Episcopalian, and he went to the St. John's Church. So when the kids were really, really young, I started them in the Methodist, of course, because that was the church I was familiar with. And then they built the new one down on Route 7.
Where was the old one?
The old one was right here on Elm Street.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's where I got married, and that's where my kids were baptized. So when they built the new church, I didn't feel the same about it. It wasn't like it was when I was young. It didn't feel like a church to me.
Yeah.
Because it was in the process of being built, and we sat on folding chairs, and I kind of drifted back to this St. John's Church, mm-hmm. and then I joined that, and then we all belonged to that, but we were always that was our social thing. Because everybody we knew went to, it seemed like, you know, so many of our friends went there too. So.
Right. There was another Methodist church too, right? Was that, I mean, I don't know when it was there, so forgive me if it was like a long time ago, but wasn't there one in like Lanesville or at some point in time and they merged? Do you know anything about
Lanesville? Yeah. That's, I'm trying to think where Lanesville is.
Up in, by like Harry Brook, up in that area. If I could be pulling something from like a long time ago that I just read someplace, so like it may not have been within recent memory.
Yeah.
I don't know. So you don't know anything about that?
No, that's the only. No, there was the Methodist Church, and right down the road, right down the street, was the St. Francis Church.
Right.
On Elm Street.
Okay. Interesting. Well, I mean, I think this has been awesome, and I really appreciate you coming in and sharing your memories with us, and I'd love to have you back with your son, like you had said.
Yeah.
I think it'd be great to have his perspective, too, and I'm sure I'll have more questions, because I always do.
Well, I enjoyed talking to you, Chris. It's interesting to pull up memories that you don't always think about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm gonna just not
yeah, turn it.